today. So potluck. And so stay after service. Lunch is on me in the fellowship hall. There's casseroles and there's stuff. Amen. So stay and join us. Men's getaway, August 15th to the 17th.
Yeah.
You're slackers because nobody has signed up. We are committed at this point to the Airbnb. Sign up with Richard or myself today. I've got a lot of verbal yada yada, but I don't have any cash and I don't have any signatures. So come on, man, step it up. We got a beautiful Airbnb in Crouch. It's going to be a great time, great food. What more do you need? Fun guys, great food, and a beautiful setting.
And,
yeah, the girls all cheered. So they want you to go, man. Get out. Yeah, the girls are like, we'll go. We'll take a weekend away. The guys are like, well, I gotta trim the grass. No, you don't. Just let it grow. All right, young adults, Saturday the 9th, which is next Saturday, 5:30 here. Food, games, fun. Yeah, young people, come on. Kids, no kids, married, not married. Come join the fun. It's always a good time. So I encourage you to be here for that. All right, Braxton, are you ready? Nope. Well, you got to do it anyway. Come on.
Go, Braxton!
It's a sad, emotional time for some of us. So, like a month ago or so, 6 weeks ago or something, we came to you and Braxton and Pastor Brian came up and shared, and Braxton is getting ready to go to the Dream Center, and you, church family, stepped up.
You guys raised $2,000 for me to be able to go. I'm just so thankful for all of you. You guys have shown so much support and love, and I'll be giving the church social media so you guys can follow my journey while I'm there.
Awesome. And then hopefully some, like a Venmo or something like that, so because I know there's some people that want to support him while he's there. And so before we send you back to your chair, maybe come up here, Mom. Let's pray over. This is the last Sunday. We're going to have him here for a while. Brian chasing kids somewhere. But we want to pray over him. The Dream Center, is everybody familiar with the Dream Center? No? Okay, the Dream Center is it's in L.A. Pastor Tommy Barnett is in Arizona. He's a pretty well-known Assembly of God pastor in Arizona. Matthew Barnett is in L.A. with the Dream Center. He went there when he was a young man, like 19, 20 years old. The nickname is the church that never sleeps. 24, 365, you know, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. They have all kinds of outreaches. He'll be going down on Skid Row. He'll be working with the homeless. They have recovery. I mean, if you can think of it, they are doing it. And so it's a great plan. You pay to go volunteer. I mean, the guy is a genius. And so, but they feed you, they house you, you get training and all these things. And so it's a phenomenal program. Actually, Pastor Brian went like a few years ago.
30.
It was a while ago.
Probably 16 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, because it was right before we moved here, actually. Yeah. So yeah, it was about 15, 16 years ago. And so just a phenomenal opportunity. And so we're proud of Braxton, excited for him. So why don't you guys come up and we'll pray. Why don't you step down here and I'm going to stand above you. Lord, we pray for Braxton right now, Lord, as you prepare to send him on this journey, as he has responded to the call you put upon his heart, Lord God. We're so thankful for that as parents and aunts and uncles and church family. To see a young person respond to what God has for them is phenomenal. We just ask, Lord, that you would protect him, you would continue to provide the resources that he needs. Lord, that this is not just educational, Lord, but that you sow seeds that have deep roots in his heart through this journey. Lord, that he experiences you in a new way. Lord, you make clear to him the call on the rest of his life. We thank you for this, and we pray for Rachel and Brian and Blake and Kennedy and Ben as they say goodbye for a short time and send him off. And we just pray that you strengthen them and encourage them and that they would have that peace in their heart knowing that this is what you called him to do. So we thank you for this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks. I sprung that on him this morning. I'm not sure if it's because I'm Uncle Rob or Pastor Rob, but he couldn't say no. Or because I wouldn't let him say no. But we are appreciative of you, church family. You are amazing. We had kids camp this week. Man, what a week. Big thank you to everybody that sponsored a kid, prayed for a kid, sent a kid. So we're going to start a series on parenting. No, just kidding. So you are invested in this. Not only did you raise money and we're sending Braxton to California. We came to you a short time later and said, hey, we got to get these kids to camp. So we had about a dozen kids go to camp. And you stepped up, and we were able to do a three-quarter scholarship for most of the kids and a full scholarship for a few kids. And we raised over $2,000 to send kids to camp. And so I told this video when I made it to be a short video. But it's not short. Hashtag sorry, not sorry. But this is, we're going to play this in just a second. So just to give you a picture, so you're going to see the kids chanting, and you're going to see orange banners. We were Team Orange. Woo! Go
Tigers!
So we were Team Orange. We were teamed up with a church in Meridian and a church from Idaho Falls, and everything is a competition.
Yes.
How excited you are, how hard you work. You're going to see some of the kids holding up medals. They got a medal for doing kind things. So whenever we couldn't find Elijah, you just went and looked for a door because he was standing there holding doors. And you're like, dude, what are you doing? I'm holding the door. Okay, but they got two arms and two legs. Let's go. But I want to hold the door. Just let go of the door, my friend. So you'll see some of that. You'll see chapel. You'll see they do fire, what they call fireside in the morning. And they had this, you won't see the fire pit, but they have what's the word I want? Help me. Outdoor seating, amphitheater. You'll see some of that in the pictures. You'll see lake day. You'll see activities, water fights. It's a good time. So, keeps going. It's got a few more minutes. Kids, did you have fun at camp?
Yes.
Woo! Don't raise your hand. You have to make noise. They're. All right. Does anybody have Elijah? I think it was Elijah kept saying camp wasn't fun. It was great.
I didn't like it. I loved it.
Oh yeah, you kept saying I didn't like it. I loved it. There's one of the many meals. Just a phenomenal. Tracy, I don't know what her last name is, but she's the Kidman leader from Louisiana, was the speaker. And her son, he was the puppet, and he was Sneaky Pete, and he was Sheriff Austin. Oh, I wish this was playing. They do a talent show. So the girls did a whistling thing, but the audio worked this morning, but new technology is not working. And you get to know kids from other camps. We bunked with the boys from Homedale, so we got to know them and some of their leaders. You have a little bit of time with just your group every day, so you get to connect with your kids and get to know them. This is one of those times when they were decorating hats. Isaiah was feeling a little overwhelmed. There's the orange team orange. And so you have amazing kids.
Yes.
And they were so fun to hang out with. I haven't been to camp in about 6 years. So, Gaga Ball, the kids are going to want a Gaga Ball pit around here now. This is, literally the name is Gaga Ball. You can even Google it, and that's what it's called, Gaga Ball. And you hit the ball back and forth, and if it hits you in the legs, below the waist, you're out. And the kids are around that pit from light till dark. I mean, as soon as they're out of the cabin until you force them to go back to the cabin, they're in there playing games. Team Orange. I think we got third place. Is that right?
Yeah.
We got third place out of three. No. There was more than three teams. Based on the behavior of your children, some of you have really good leadership skills. And I'm locking that in because I'll be talking to you. You learn a little bit about the parents when you have the kids. Yeah, you just ask them questions. So, no. Tell me about, I asked one kid, what parent are you more like, mom or dad? And they thought about it. There's a big water fight. And they thought about it and they go, well, dad likes to do puzzles and mom doesn't. And I do puzzles with dad sometimes, so I'm a little bit like dad. But mom, and goes on to talk about what mom does, and I do that too, so I guess I'm a little bit like mom and dad. I'm like, well, you've got enough personality for all of us, so. That's a face of fear. Now I'm soaking wet. So it was a great time, but the best part of all of it is watching those kids enter into worship and raise their hands and praise the Lord and dance and sing and all of the good stuff. This is what do you call that when you sing and the words are on the screen? Karaoke. My brain is still recovering. And the first night they had this, they after Pastor Tracy preached, she had these kids come up with signs and do you need to know Jesus and do you need to be set free from something? Are you struggling with something? Or do you need to know who you are in Christ? Or do you just want more of Jesus? And when she made the call, man, your kids were out of their seats and each one of them went to that thing that spoke to their hearts. And they responded to what God was doing. So those are some of the games and activities they participated in. As you saw the zip line a few times, the kids love the zip line. We had about four or five kids respond for baptism in the Holy Spirit. Just a good, good time. They have a new song. Some of them have probably been asking you to play it free. All I know is the na-na-na-na part. Na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. But they had a full worship band, and they rocked out. And unfortunately, the audio is not working. But every kid had fun. Every kid experienced love. And every kid experienced the presence of the Lord. And it was a good time. So this is what camp looks like. This is what you are giving to. They were going and going and going. We were up about 7:30 in the morning, and we were in our cabins about 10:30. They were asleep sometime after that. There's the girls' dorm. Boys look similar. I got between 11 and 12,000 steps every day. I was tired. I was like, why do my hips hurt? Is it... but it's just a phenomenal time, a great way to get the, there's no devices, they're just disconnected. And all they can do is play in the dirt and worship the Lord. It's the best thing you can do for your kids. And that's what the end of camp looks like. That is the perfect picture for, notice how the one pant leg's down, one's not. She's just done. And that's how you feel at the end of camp. So parents, thanks for sending your kids. Church, thanks for sending our kids. Amen? All right, kids, get out of here. It's enough. Go find Miss Megan. It was pretty amazing. You have great kids. They're entertaining. I'm tired still. Been sleeping for 3 days and I still can't get. So that's what camp looks like. It is a good time. They did a great job putting it together, organizing it, coordinating it, worship teams and food and fun and all the different stuff. And so next year, we'll be doing it again. We'll be a little more organized. We'll plan further ahead. But we want to keep sending kids to camp. Next year, hopefully, we should be launching our youth group here in a few weeks. Hopefully, we have enough kids to send it to teen camp, too. And teen camp is very similar, but it's a day longer. I don't know, it's amazing. We're glad we went. We're glad you sent your kids. Everybody made it up and back, just like I told the parents they would. I have no idea if they got back with all their stuff. I highly doubt it. To note for next year, don't send anything you like. Except for your kids. Hopefully you like them. All right, so let's jump into Acts chapter 18. Verse 24. I feel like I should do a Q&A now, but... Oh, man, I got to preach fast. That was way too long. When I did the video, I told it 5-minute video. And then when I exported it, it was like an 11-minute video. And I was like, what is wrong with you? And then our computer that does all of this crashed this week. So it's going to go to the... It's going to the dump. It's beyond the hospital. So we had to get a new computer. I was here forever yesterday trying to get it working. Apparently, I didn't quite get it working. Mostly working. So we literally, like, I wasn't making it up. Like, we had power issues. We had computer issues. We had sprinkler issues. I was like, well, I'll be back in 4 days. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he knew only of the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue when Priscilla and Aquila heard him. They invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. For he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving the scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. Lord, I pray it would be your words this morning and not my own. In Jesus' name, amen. So Apollos is from Alexandria. Why does this matter? I don't care where this guy's from. It matters because at that time, people would have known what that meant. And Alexandria was an important city in the Roman Empire. In fact, it was the second biggest city in the Roman Empire. It was an important seaport, and it was the greatest cultural and educational center in the Roman Empire. And so there was a large Jewish population in Alexandria, and they were what we refer to as Hellenistic Jews, which sounds bad, but it just means they spoke Greek, okay, instead of Hebrew. In fact, if you look up the Greek Old Testament, which we call the Septuagint today, this is where that comes from. It's from that group of Jews. They translated the Old Testament into Greek. And so at that time period, when introduced to it, if somebody would have said, well, this is Apollos, he's from Alexandria, it would have been, oh, there's a lot of smart people in Alexandria. They're well-educated. And so it gave him some immediate credibility when they said, well, he's a smart guy. He's from Alexandria. They go, oh, okay, that makes sense. And so during the time that the book of Acts was written, this would have meant a lot. And it would make sense that, hey, this guy, he's smart, he speaks well, he all of these different things. They would have understood, oh, he's from Alexandria. Well, that's where all the smart people are. I'm trying to think of a city in Idaho to say that about, but they're all smart in Idaho. Says he had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately. He knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. So he had been instructed in the way of the Lord. He went to a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church with a great Sunday school program. And he knew about the Lord. He spoke with great fervor. Basically, he was so enthusiastic about his relationship with the Lord that his spirit was literally like boiling over when he began to talk about it. Have you ever started a new hobby or started a new book or a new activity and you're so excited you just want to tell somebody about it? Megan tells me about her art. And I go, she goes, I know you don't care. I don't. You're correct. But I will listen. And so I say, tell me about your art. That is really cool. And so for Christmas, I got her jumbo crayons. I'm funny. But she's excited about this thing. I'm excited for her. As long as I don't have to do it, I'm excited about it. because I'm not an art guy. I have no creative bones. I'm not sure who that was. Oh, now I know who it was. It's true, though. It's true. I go, hey, we need a slogan for the church. Can you get me a slogan for the church? Text somebody. A few days later, zoom. Great idea. We're going to use that. Hey, I need a logo design. Send it to this other guy. Here you go. Perfect. Thank you. It's just not my thing. I can build it. Megan will go find it on Pinterest. Say, this is what I want. Okay, I can do that. Anyway. He was boiling over as he spoke. He was so excited and so passionate about God and about who God was in his life. It says he spoke boldly. He spoke boldly. Today, boldly, we say that's the ability to take risks, to be confident and courageous, to boldly go where no man is gone. Kind of similar to what it means here. What it means here is that the meaning here is that speech resulting from the virtues of fearlessness, boldness, courage. So to speak freely, without fear, without worry. Maybe the government doesn't want you to talk about it. Maybe the Jews don't want you to talk about it, but you're going to speak freely and confidently. That's the boldness that's being referred to here. It's a kind of unimpeded speech that results from that fearlessness. So, the confidence that we understand boldness to be is still there, but it's more about the ability to speak unhindered. You're not being obnoxious, you're not shouting and waving banners or protest things from the corner, but you're communicating clearly the gospel with confidence. Well, I think Jesus loves everyone. But no, there's a confidence. Jesus loves you. Jesus has a plan for you. Jesus has a purpose for you. As they presented the scriptures to the kids in that video that of with the puppet, she's giving them 1 Corinthians 5:17 and teaching the kids and helping them kind of memorize it with confidence and with boldness. So Apollos communicated freely and clearly about the gospel. He understood who Christ is and was able to articulate that information so that people understood. He spoke freely, boldly. So here we have Apollos. He's speaking in the synagogue. He's clearly and passionately communicating who Christ is. He has all the facts in order, but there's a little piece that he's leaving out. And so Priscilla and Aquila, they notice this. And so they call him out in front of everybody. No, it says in the last part of verse 26, it says, when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. They invited him to their home. They didn't interrupt what he was doing in the synagogue. They didn't make him feel dumb. They pulled him in under their wing and said, hey, have you heard about this? Have you heard about this? And they began to teach him. And in the next chapter, we see that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a part of the conversation, because then he goes and he starts sharing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And hey, these are guys that are following me. You guys need to know about this baptism of the Holy Spirit. In today's world, we want to put everybody on blast. We want to put everybody on blast. We jump on social media. Did you see what Apollos did? He totally missed everything about the Holy Spirit. Did you see Pastor Rob in that video, he was doing weird stuff because the kids said it. I don't know what we were doing, a fashion show or something. I don't know. I just walked up and they're like, it's your turn. And I was like, all right, it's kids camp. They just loved him and encouraged him, pulled him in, talked to him. So another thing to note here, and we see this, we've seen this for the last few chapters, Priscilla is always mentioned first in the scriptures, and the ladies all want to hear about this. Priscilla and Aquila, Priscilla and Aquila, Priscilla and Aquila. And so, basically, typically, we would put the man's name first and then the female's name. What's happening here is it's kind of a nod to Priscilla, essentially. And her historians, church historians, local pastors in that area, they in their writings, they even acknowledge that Priscilla took the lead in giving instruction to Apollos. Now, there's a couple of things to note here. One, culturally, this would not have been a norm. The women in this, even in this that culture today, women are silent. They are covered, all of those kinds of things. The second part of that, it speaks to who Priscilla must have been as a person. She was probably pretty well educated. Apollos was well educated, and she was able to dialogue and converse and speak into his life. And so, Paul even goes on in other books and he talks about Priscilla and Aquila, and they were fellow teachers, they were fellow believers, they were missionaries. And so it really shows her role and his role in the ministry, their role in Paul's life, their role in the lives of the church in that region. And it's an important and impactful thing. And so it's a pretty cool thing to note. And so there was something about her. You know, Apollos, he was from a well-educated area. I think the other part that this talks about or points to me is his willingness to listen and to learn. He had a teachable spirit. I've coached a lot of sports over the years. And there's kids that just don't want to listen to anything. And you're like, oh yeah, that's my kid. And then there's kids that you just tell them once and they start to do it. You show them how to stand to field a ball. You show them how to stand to throw a ball. You show them how to shoot a ball. And they do it. And they practice it and they do everything you said. And it's a teachable kid. And then there's the kid that just wants to throw it in the air and they don't really care. And you're like, oh man, just run a lap. But there's something about an individual that is teachable and willing to learn. And what God can do in and through that person. Potluck is soon. We're getting there. So verse 27, when Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers and sisters encouraged him and wrote the disciples there to welcome him. When he arrived, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed, for he vigorously refuted his Jewish opponents in public debate, proving from scriptures that Jesus was Messiah. So Apollos quickly became a key part of the ministry. He was loved. They were encouraging the others to receive him and accept him. God used his education, his wisdom, his eloquence, his ability to communicate to refute those that opposed Christ as the Messiah. And it says that he did so successfully, that he did so vigorously. God uses the gifts that he's given us to impact the people around us. Apollos was wise and well-spoken, and God used that. He encouraged believers. He stood up for the gospel. So what is God trying to do through you? Some questions that we can ask ourselves is, how can I better serve the Lord? How can I better commit to what God has for me? What do I need to change? Is there a change that needs to take place in my life? Is there some barrier in my life? I'm not necessarily talking a sin issue, because that's where we tend to go in our minds with that kind of stuff. I'm talking, is there something, am I resistant to change? Am I teachable? Am I willing to adjust who I am so I can be a bigger impact on the people around me? Am I willing to shut up and listen? Two ears, one mouth. Am I receptive to what God wants? Priscilla and Aquila were looking for those they could invest in. Maybe you're a Priscilla or an Aquila. And there is someone you can invest in. Someone you can pull into your circle. Maybe you're an Apollos. And are you ready to receive what someone is ready to pour into you? Are you teachable so God can use you? Apollos was a super smart guy. And in a culture where a woman should not have been teaching a man, he was willing to receive what she had because he wanted to go grow closer to the Lord. And so which one am I, and how am I going to respond? It's supper club today, potluck, supper club. Why do we call it supper club? It's not just to be cool. The focus is, and if you look up supper club, what it means, it's a casual social atmosphere. And that's the goal. A relaxed social atmosphere where relationships can be built. The whole purpose of potluck is not food. We use food because it's a great tool to get people to a location. Ask me to go to breakfast. I will show up. I might even buy. It's a place where relationships can be built. It's not a race through the line. By the way, it's veterans of the faith first. Veterans of the faith eat first. So if you're younger than me, back of the line. The food is just a reason to sit still for a little bit and have a conversation. While you feed your face, they can use their words. And you just watch. As soon as they pick up that spoon, that's your opportunity. The whole purpose is to build relationship. People don't stay in churches because of pastors typically. It's because of relationships. It's because of the people around them. Sit in a different spot. Don't do that. You'll confuse me. But if you do sit in a different spot, go sit with somebody you don't really talk to in potluck. That's a great idea. And you begin to build a relationship. You begin to meet somebody new. You know, I can almost guarantee you there is somebody in the room that has experienced what you're experiencing. And this is the hardest part, and I'm the worst one at it, so I'm going to, what is that, call the kettle black or whatever? Pot calling the kettle out. You have to open up a little bit and share a little bit about your life. But if you do, I guarantee you there's someone that has probably experienced what you're experiencing, and they can give you wisdom and insight to navigating the path that you're on. So, let's pray. Pray over the meal. Pray over you. And what God has for you. Lord, we thank you that we can come into this place. Lord, we thank you for your presence here this morning. Lord, you are here to meet us each and every day, each and every week. You want us to encounter you and to encounter your presence. Lord, I pray as we're walking through life and navigating various situations, Lord, that we would know that our strength is in you. Father, that we would know that when we feel empty and we feel weak, there is strength in you, that you put people around us to strengthen us and encourage us. I pray, Lord, as we go into potluck, that we would be reminded that there's people here that care. There's people here that have walked the road ahead of me. And Lord, as we build relationship, we would find community and we would find encouragement. Lord, we thank you for the food that you have provided this morning. We pray you multiply the potluck, multiply the casserole dishes, Lord, that every one would leave with full hearts and full stomachs. And we thank you for what you're doing in this place, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Veterans of the Faith first.